Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join us this morning. I'm very pleased to share with you that once again with me here in the studio is a friend, resident of Bakersfield, a licensed and ordained minister for over 30 years. Will Wynn is once again with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother.
Good to have you back.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
When last you and I got together, we largely turned our attention to the topic, what does it mean to be Christian and single? And we quickly ran out of time. And let me share with you before we go further. It was remarkable how many individuals called the His Way Out Ministries office or sent us an email thanking us for addressing this particular topic. So again, I'm glad that you're back with me so we can continue this, because obviously many are very, very interested.
I believe that, Phil, and I think that I think it's our duty to do this. And I don't know whether the church has really stepped up to the plate in its responsibility to thoroughly look at this, to be transparent, to deal maybe with our own sins and our own issues of human sexuality, that we've been afraid to actually deal with this directly. But I'm ready this morning. I don't know about you.
Well, let's continue. Let's jump right in. So much in our society is structured around couples. It's often just assumed that adults will have a partner and that there's something rather odd about them if they don't. However, I find it remarkable how positive the New Testament is about singleness. Specifically, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, Paul speaks of it as a gift, and Jesus says it's good for those to whom it has been given, and he cites this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 11. So let's begin by my asking a question. Is it fair to ask, does God make some men and women single?
I think that we have to look to the Scripture. And in fact, as we've gotten into this first thing this morning, I want to be sure that everyone who's listening to this broadcast understands that our background and the foundation from which we're coming to discuss this or anything else is that we are evangelical Christians. We believe the Bible is God's Word, and we hold a biblical worldview. Yes. As it regards life and living, what's right and wrong, what's good and evil. And with that in mind, we know the Bible says in Psalm 19:7, that the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. So that doesn't mean we're perfect, though. And that's the deal. Right. That's the thing that we deal with right now as we address this. We're not perfect in our understanding, in our knowledge, in our behavior, our thoughts and attitudes. Neither are we perfect in our love for God and for others. But we want to serve and minister and give and to follow as closely as possible what is clearly stated in the Bible as our rule for life and living, and as a Christian. To be absolute, as some of the in theology say, to be essential in the faith, giving deference to non-essentials of the faith, and all, but in all things to be charitable, and yes, to know that we need to be charitable. I'd like to read that 1 Corinthians
Please
7.
Do. Please do.
Yeah, it says, and this is the NIV, and this is Paul speaking to the 1 Corinthian church, which a lot of people, by the way, think is very, very similar to today's church.
Yes.
In terms of what they were dealing with. He said, I wish all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do. So he's stating something very, very specific as it regards himself. And yet, of course, he's leaving that door open. Speaking of singleness, by the way, I guess we're using the term unmarried here as well. Although I think for the purposes of what we're looking at, we're talking about single with those that have same-sex attraction or fall within the LGBT area there.
Right.
Okay. I think that what Jesus said in Matthew 19 is fascinating to me. I've looked at this. I've meditated on this verse often. I've never heard it preached.
Hmm.
Never.
Never.
Never. I've heard it alluded to, and the first parts of it you would hear in every marriage ceremony. But Jesus is actually addressing, in Matthew 19, Jews that came to him who were trying to justify them to get divorce for any reason. And they backed it up by saying, well, Moses said we could, but Jesus qualified this. Anyway, the Pharisees and the Jews came to test Jesus, it says. I'm reading in Matthew 19. And they ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Jesus responded, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. I think everybody who's been to a wedding has heard those phrases.
No doubt.
And it's within the context of what he's saying. Now, then Jesus goes on to say, and these are very interesting statements. You and I have talked about this. It requires great wisdom and understanding and an openness to understand, I think, what God is trying to communicate to his church today. He said to these Pharisees, these Jews, what he just got through saying, but then the disciples who were there and heard everything came to him and said to him, if this is the situation between a husband and a wife, it's better not to marry.
Right.
So Jesus' disciples were understanding that maybe Jesus was telling them it's better to not be married. Jesus responded in a very interesting way. He said, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given.
Given.
It has been given. That's, again, hinting toward a gifting there. There's something that is given to certain people, I believe, that God has chosen specially. And Jesus goes on to say, for there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others. Then there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And he finishes that by saying, the one who can accept this word should accept it. That opens up a whole area of trying to understand human sexuality and what God's purpose and plans are.
And it also contributes to a little bit of tension compared to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, which says, be fruitful and multiply.
That's true. And obviously, same-sex attraction is not designed to do that.
No.
But look what has happened in the world today and in our nation. Same-sex couples now have a recognition of their union. In fact, the Supreme Court has even called it, almost blasphemously, a marriage.
Which once again provides evidence that everything God has, Satan, our enemy, has a counterfeit.
He loves to do that. He likes to twist the words. He likes to add to the meaning. He tries to shade it in a different way. And it's just like in the garden, when the snake said to Eve, did God say that?
And as you well know, this whole subject matter for me is one I'm going to approach personally as well as professionally. I remember to this day, Will, some 32 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I'm in church for the first time in my life, and well-meaning Christians approached me and said, now, Philip, just get married and have 32 kids and you'll be just fine. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. I don't think that's the answer.
No.
But that is still how some see it today. For those struggling with same-sex attraction, just get married to someone of the opposite gender and you'll be fine. No, not, Let's not rush it.
No, no. And I believe honestly that you have come to grips with the fact that God has not made you up that way.
Exactly.
And that there's nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that you probably deal with same-sex or opposite-sex attractions, we deal with it entirely different ways. Now, what does that mean? It just means that sin is still sin, and we still have to look to God's Word to understand what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, etc.
The reality is, whether a Christian's been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years, there isn't one of us that lives completely and totally free of temptation.
No.
Not going to happen.
No, it doesn't.
Not going to happen.
It doesn't. And I think that's why maybe we've missed it in terms of our understanding of our profession of faith, mm-hmm. in that I've often been taken by the fact in Matthew 4, and before, I believe in Matthew 3, when John the Baptist, by the way, he was single.
Yes, he was.
He was very single. And some feel he was part of the Essene group, which lived down around the Qumran area of the Dead Sea and were probably responsible for putting the jars of the Dead Sea Scrolls back in those caves. But John the Baptist came in ministry, and his primary spoken statement of what he asked people to do was repent. Repent.
Not a popular word these days.
No, that was the first word of the gospel out of the mouth of John the Baptist. Literally, we know that because he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or it's here. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, tempted, the first words out of his mouth that are recorded to the crowds were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here.
And you know, because even today I remain single. And when I do have opportunity to share and speak or teach in churches or conferences, inevitably at some point someone will make their way to me and say, are you married? And I understand where that's coming from, but I have to challenge a bit because there are those today that think a wedding ring on the finger means everything is okay.
Yeah.
That is not the truth always.
No, no, it's not. And the odd part about this, and I think in God's great wisdom, Jesus, who was not married, in spite of what Hollywood and heretics have tried to do in his relationship with Mary Magdalene and others, has called himself the bridegroom of the church.
Yes.
You know, that's funny because as a man, I struggle with being the bride. And yet that's what I am in terms of God's understanding of my relationship with Jesus Christ, at least one part of my relationship.
And let's make sure for everyone listening, there is no gender confusion going on here.
Absolutely not.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. But it is interesting that when we look at the Scripture and we look at singleness or people being unmarried, that there are other areas other than what Paul said about himself that we do need to understand. And I think that that we understand it in the wisdom of Jesus' words to say that there are some who are born without a desire to be married to someone of the opposite sex. Okay? I think we can say that safely. And I would classify that as the single group that we're looking at as we discuss this.
Yes.
Specifically. And who are probably tempted with same-sex relations.
I would submit that if more Christian men and women would first and foremost go to God the Father and say, or ask, do you want me to get married? Get an answer to that, and then wait for him or her, whatever the case may be, to come in the pathway of your life for God to say, okay, there he is or there she is. We just might see the divorce rate come down a lot.
That's for sure. I can see that in my own family. I have a son who, well, he got older and older, and he got to thinking, well, maybe God doesn't want me to marry. He just couldn't find the right girl. And all of a sudden, he found another girl who'd been praying the same, saying, well, maybe, Lord, maybe you don't want me to be married. But she still had her heart open to that, mm-hmm. as my son did. And I had the great pleasure of marrying them a couple of years ago. And then my wife and I got to go over and take care of our beautiful grandson that they just had on Mother's Day this year.
Wow.
So
wonderful. Let's launch out a little bit here in the practical sense, Will. Let's tackle this question. Are there advantages to being single? And I would submit that for some Christian men and women that consciously choose to stay single, they are doing so to devote themselves entirely to Christian work or the furtherance of God's kingdom. So there are advantages.
I believe there are. And I think one of the things, of course, that Paul mentions is that you don't have the family responsibilities to keep you from being free to go, to move, to minister, to be available.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean you don't have, let's say, family ties, moms and dads and maybe sisters and brothers, but you don't have specifically a spouse and
right.
or your own children and the responsibility of your home
right.
and of, let's say, earning a living for not only yourself, but obviously for your family, which requires, of course, most of our time when we're in the work life. So I agree with that.
And again, I relate to this personally because, as you know, I stay pretty much on the go. And when God says pack up and go, I pack up and go. Now, if I had a wife and children, things would be very different.
It would.
Very different.
For sure. And I have to understand that within the disciples, when Jesus was working with the 12 and it was time to send them out, we know that some of the apostles, some of the disciples, the 12, did have spouses.
Mm-hmm.
They had families.
Yes.
It's very interesting in how they might have dealt with that. We don't have a clue within the scripture text to tell us how they dealt with that or whether they talked with the Lord about that as they were getting ready to be sent out. Because, in fact, he did say some pretty tough things about forsaking family, forsaking all these kinds of things to be available and to be ready to go out. So there is definitely an advantage to being single with respect to ministry and the freedom it affords you to be able to go. I also understand, and I don't know that we mentioned this before, but I have some theater background. I have done a lot of music through the years, and it seems like in theater arts and the artistic community and stuff, there seems to be a lot of people that are struggling with same-sex attraction.
Yes.
But I also find there, Phil, this remarkable creativity, this remarkable ability within their makeup and the way they are to do things that most of the rest of us can't figure out.
And that is so, so important to this whole subject matter because those giftings, those talents, those abilities were placed there first and foremost to honor God.
They're needed in the church.
Absolutely.
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 In communicating the gospel and communicating biblical principles and stuff. I remember so well the things that I've seen Christian groups do that present before an audience or before a congregation. Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames was a group that came through, and they had really very serious theatrical presentations of scenarios of people. And the response was remarkable.
Hmm.
It stirs people inside.
Yes.
We learn in specific ways. We learn by hearing, by seeing, and by touching, feeling, and doing. But the sight and the auditory learning and what we can receive, again, from what they have to give is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's tackle this question. Is it possible to be single and content? And I've heard it said that contentment is a decision, not a feeling. And I believe it is possible to be single and be content.
I believe that's true. I also think within our emotional makeup that there is a link to contentedness. I think it's a settled peace within us that we're not always striving to be something else or do something else. I think it's possible. I do believe that there's a challenge of loneliness.
Yes, definitely.
When God put Adam and Eve together, before Eve was created out of the side of Adam, the statement was, it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
And when Adam saw her, of course, it was flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone in terms of the oneness that God created out of the two. But I think we talked about this a little earlier also. Singles have relationships, obviously. in the world, they tend to gravitate toward other singles that I think struggle with the same temptations. In the church, it seems to be difficult. I think the church, unfortunately, in fact, I wrote some thoughts down here. I think many in the church, I think, tend to misunderstand the way God has made up these folks.
Well, we were created for a relationship, first and foremost, with God the Father and with one another.
Absolutely. And obviously, you come out of a family. And I know within a family context that, as I've seen personally, when people come, quote unquote, out of the closet, as it were, there's a great strain there.
Yes, and a big one.
It is a tough one. And the loneliness issue, I mean, folks that have the same sex attraction can become ostracized.
I remember very, very well turning my life to Christ and being in church for the first time. I mean, I was leaving someone behind, an identity that I had known for many, many years, a community I had known for many years. And now I'm stepping out into, for lack of a better expression, the black and white plains of Christianity. Had it not been for God's people, a church that loved me and encouraged me and walked me through a process, I don't know that you and I would be sitting here right now talking.
Well, and I mean, isn't that the remedy for the loneliness?
Exactly.
The church should be stepping up. I mean, just because someone has same-sex attraction doesn't mean that they should be excluded from the koinonia.
Exactly.
From the fellowship of the body. As a matter of fact, I would pray that if those folks being identified would be able to be put together with a mentor or someone that can take them under their wing, that could give them the right kind of, let's say, gender emphasis. And it was funny in church today, they were talking about Paul giving an instruction in a closing letter to the Corinthians to greet each other with a holy kiss. And everybody laughed, of course, because, you know, that carries such an interesting connotation.
I don't think you're going to see too much of that here in America.
No, I don't think we are. I don't think at all. But the funny thing is that in ministry back in Virginia and going into a very conservative church back there that had a lot of particular denominational ties, it was multi-denominational. One of the discussions we had in my first Board of Elders meeting was that we have to be careful with frontal hugs, that we make sure that we do side hugs. And we all had a good laugh about that. However, not an unreasonable thing to do, and yet people need a hug. They need that physical contact. They need somehow to have that reaffirming touch, if I can say that.
Hugs are important, but I also think we should not minimize. Our presence alone speaks volumes.
Exactly.
Sometimes just being there without speaking even one word.
Exactly.
It speaks volumes.
Exactly. But we can also say that not all hugs are the right hugs.
True.
And I think that, for example, men to men, boys growing up within a family, as well as in the church, and women to women, girls to girls, within families as well as in the church, I think it needs to be done in a way that there is never any thought of impropriety or anything sexual. That is very important.
Absolutely.
But it's also important, I think, to make the connect, because to have that connect, then especially from a mentoring standpoint of a mature individual in Christ that is connected up with someone with same-sex attraction, that first of all, they're equipped in the Word, they understand this issue very clearly, and they love in a fashion that doesn't exclude God's Word, and they do it in a way that these folks understand that they are appreciated and loved and that God has made them special.
Yes.
And given them the distinctives that they have in their life that may not be like everybody else, but that's okay. That's not a problem.
I think also, well, we have to be honest in stating that staying single, remaining single, can be greatly challenging, if not at times in life, very, very hard, because we are sexual beings. Our sexuality is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within his well-defined holy boundary lines. Now, again, I'm single. I'm coming up on 68 years old pretty quick. And again, when I'm sharing in churches, someone younger will make their way and say, "Now, Pastor Lee, you just don't understand. You know what? I'm coming up on 68 real fast. I'm not dead. I do get it. I do understand. But I do believe this as well. Within God's word, he has given us his power, the spirit that lives within us, that we can live according to his perfect word and stay within those boundary lines. That's not to say that it's easy, because again, we all experience times of temptation.
And I think that others like you need to hear that. And I don't think that that's freely spoken.
Well, I think we're living in a world, mainly more so here in America, that being single, the person is deprived. And not necessarily so. It can mean a whole wonderful new aspect, if you will, in your life.
Exactly.
And there's a whole lot worse things in this world than going through life remaining single.
Well, that's true. Within the body of Christ, and we start talking about loneliness.
Yes.
Do we understand that in Christ, we are the body? We are particularly members of that body, and yet I don't even think sometimes in the way that the body and the church is structured, Phil, that we have the clear distinctives that need to be seen and coordinated and cooperated with in order to see the body of Christ be the body.
And when you start talking about loneliness, you're touching on a key factor for both men and women working through their brokenness of same-sex attraction. When that loneliness factor comes in like a tsunami, it can be consuming. And men and women are inclined to think, well, I need to connect with someone. I need companionship. And sometimes they cross lines they know they don't need to cross. But that's part of the process. Loneliness is a huge, huge factor. But again, it's a wonderful opportunity for churches, the body of Christ, to come alongside and say, look, we'll walk with you. We're here for you. May not have all the answers, but I'm here.
It is. And yet I would encourage those who are dealing with this, Phil, the same-sex attraction, that the loneliness issue can be something that they can also break the inertia of also. That rather than recede, rather than turn in their loneliness, that they need to possibly seek out others that they see are also lonely.
Yes.
And when you literally sow that kind of seed, then it begins to reap a harvest of fellowship and relationships.
Exactly.
For you, I believe.
You know, well, we're coming once again to the end of our time. And before we do run out of time, I also want to share, there's no need to feel ashamed for being single.
Amen.
Agree?
Agreed.
Amen. This has been great. Once again, it's a very, very important topic. And I was still, as I shared at the beginning of our program here, I was absolutely taken back by how many men and women called to say thank you for talking about this. So I hope once again we'll see the same result.
I know. And to the church, wake up.
And be the church.
And be the church.
Once again, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate your joining us again this morning, and we look forward to your joining us again next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.